Black Flame of the Amazon, featuring Harold Noyce, world-famous explorer in person. And now for another chapter in the thrilling Harold Noyce jungle expedition. Most boys and girls have seen snakes, captured snakes too, perhaps. But wouldn't it be something to be in on the catching of an anaconda measuring about 20 feet long? Yes, indeed. And you recall Mr. Morton, the white trader, promised Jimmy and Jean that he would take them along on the snake-capturing trip. Well, we hope it turns out more successful than the monkey-catching escapade. Inside a net with a little monkey. Well, Jimmy said that was bad enough. But imagine being inside a net with an anaconda. Oh, well, just leave it to Jimmy. And right now, we find Jimmy, Jean, and Mr. Morton walking along the jungle trail headed away from the trading post.
But, Mr. Morton, you surely get more money when you ship anacondas than you do for just monkeys.
Well, yes, as a rule. Unless the monkey happens to be a rare specimen, then it is more valuable.
And you ship the big snakes in cages, too.
In boxes, Miss Jean, but specially made boxes, strong and almost indestructible.
But how do you ever get a big 20-foot snake in a box in the first place? Isn't that kind of tough, huh?
Oh, well, sometimes, but if you want to be on a most difficult proposition, just be around when we're caging a newly captured jaguar for shipment. That is a job, I assure you.
Say, I bet it is.
Well, anyway, you and me, we better learn on the easy things first, Jean, monkeys and snakes.
But, Mr. Morton, after your men get the big anaconda stretched out, why, what do you do then? Just haul it home? Drag it?
Oh, my, no. That procedure, in all probability, might damage the specimen. And if they are to be shipped for thousands of miles by water and rail, they have to be in first-class shape, healthy, with no wounds of any kind.
But could Jean and me ever capture a big anaconda? I mean, if we were animal catchers like you are?
Oh, you could learn. Of course you could. You'll have your first lesson tomorrow. You'll see how we do it, and you may even help.
But golly, Mr. Morton, isn't it awfully dangerous? I mean, when you try to catch one of the big anaconda snakes, say a 25-foot one.
Oh, not always. There's the usual excitement of the Indian men. They make most of the noise, though. And once in a while, one of the boys may get entangled in the writhing coils, and we have to set him free.
And he yells like all get out, I bet.
Well, I don't blame him. Boy, could I set up a swell mess of plain and fancy howling if I ever got mixed up like that.
Yes, I imagine I would do likewise. Oh, but don't worry. It seldom ever happens. We're too careful for that. Animal catching has got to be a science now. There's nothing cruel about it anymore. We have at last got to where we really know more than the animal. Oh, if you get what I mean.
Oh, yes. But anyway, excuse me from being too anxious to help to carry the anacondas.
Oh, you'll like it. You see, we have him on a long pole.
Hanging? You mean dangling like a fish on the end of a line?
Well, not exactly. You see, the men bring up a long pole about 30 feet long, and the snake is tied along the underside of the pole, parallel, head at one end and the tail at the other, and a rope is wound round and round the full length.
Say, that is an idea. I must remember that. Jean, that's another thing we gotta get. Ropes and long poles.
Not me. I'll take coconuts and monkeys. You can be the high-exalted Big Cheese Anaconda picker-upper. Oh, but little Jean, she sticks to monkeys, you bet.
A very nice idea, Miss Jean. Divide the responsibilities. You each should specialize in one thing at a time.
You know, sir, you want to know something? If I was to specialize in anything, you know what it would be?
Oh, I haven't the faintest idea, upon my word.
Magic.
Magic?
Yes, sir, Mr. Morton. Bad magic. The stuff Keto told us about.
Oh, so Keto has been telling you about bad magic. Oh, but Jimmy, lad, there is no such thing. We whites must never countenance that stuff.
But Mr. Morton, Keto, he told us he knows about some place away up country. He called it the place that burns always.
Oh, yes, I've heard of it under many different names. The Burning Land, the Land That Burns Forever, the Place of the Great Smoke and Blackness, and, oh, and many other terms, almost too numerous to mention.
But, Mr. Morton, isn't that the same as the Black Flame Country?
Well, it might be. Why, oh, yes, you mean about your father, Mr. Brady?
Oh, yes, sir. He's a prisoner up near the Black Flame, or maybe in the Black Flame Country.
Yes, Mr. Nice mentioned that, Miss Jean. Well, he may be a prisoner up there.
Oh, he is a prisoner up there. But, Mr. Morton, did you ever meet any of the Black Flame Country Indians? What do they look like?
Oh, that I can't say, Jimmy, never having met any of that tribe that I recall of. At least, if I did, I never knew of.
But why does Keto speak of bad magic? Why should Keto tell us that the elders around the campfire in his village speak about the land that burns, but they always speak in whispers?
Oh, that's superstition, Jimmy. And we three, we don't deal in that kind of drivel, do we? No, I should say not.
But Keto says that the Indian warriors are afraid of nothing, but they won't dare go near that land that burns.
Oh, now, Miss Jean, don't pay too much attention to Keto. He's an Indian, a fine little fellow, and brave as a lion, too. But what little education he did get at the missions, well, it didn't dispel the thought of magic. No, like all Indians, he's superstitious. Oh, very much so.
But, Mr. Morton, did you ever hear any of the Indians that came downriver tell anything about that place?
Well, if I did, I doubt if I paid much attention. You see, Jimmy, the Indian warrior loves to tell long tales. They'll talk for hours about the most unbelievable things.
But are they all unbelievable, Mr. Morton?
Well, now, I'd say yes, at least most of them. Oh, I remember when I was first assigned to this post, I did interest myself in many things. Tried to get to the bottom of many of the wild tales told around the campfires. But my investigations always ended in the same way. Nothing, no foundation at all.
You never discovered any truth in the wild tales?
Never. Oh, I recall rumors of pygmies, a pygmy tribe of Indians back in the hinterland somewhere. I investigated, but could get no proof at all. Never have been any pygmies down at my station.
But there could be pygmies, Mr. Morton, couldn't there?
Oh, surely, there might be. They do have pygmy tribes in Africa, little people. And not much was known of them until about a few years ago.
Well, that's what I mean, Mr. Morton. Well, for instance, the pygmy tribes must have been in Africa for hundreds of years, or maybe thousands, but nobody knew about them until not many years ago.
Well, that's true, Jimmy, and this Amazon country, it's a big one, I tell you, perhaps containing more unexplored land than any other spot on the face of this earth.
And maybe somewhere, I mean, where no white man has ever been, there might be plenty of pygmy tribes.
Oh, I admit your reasoning is sound, there might. But I, for one, won't believe so until I see them or hear definite proof from such reliable authorities as Mr. Noyce or your father, for instance.
Well, yes, sir. And then maybe there is such a thing as the land that burns forever. Maybe that's the Black Flame Country, and maybe there is magic there.
Oh, now, Jimmy, don't tell me you believe in magic.
Oh, no, sir, I don't. But I mean, well, maybe there are funny things going on. Not maybe magic to whites like us, but could be plenty magic to the Indians.
Yes, Jimmy, you're right, to the Indians. For whatever they don't fully understand is always magic. The witch doctors say it's magic, taboo, and no one, no Indian, ever doubts the word of that witch doctor. Oh, those fellows are bad medicine themselves.
And supposing this Black Flame Country was made taboo by the witch doctors, would that mean that no Indians would dare go near it?
Yes, it amounts to about that, but taboos won't bother us. Oh, no, a taboo, that's usually the signal for the white man to find out all about it.
And do the white men always find out about them?
Oh, most of them, and like I said before, it all turns out to be so much tummy rot and foolishness and superstition.
Gosh, I wish I could sit around a fire and hear the warriors telling these tales. I mean, I would have to know the language better, though, wouldn't I?
Well, now, Jimmy, we can fix that, I think. If you'll promise to try and not to have nightmares, promise to believe nothing you hear, I can fix it.
Boy, that would be swell, Mr. Morton. Huh, Jean?
No, thank you, Jimmy. Wouldn't be swell at all. Not for Jean. You can campfire all you want, but no bad magic stories for me.
Well spoken, Miss Jean. You refuse to waste your valuable time, eh?
Okay, but I'd like to investigate, Mr. Morton. But how can I understand what the warriors say?
Oh, that's easy. As a rule, wherever there's a campfire palaver of the Indians, you'll find sitting very near the front row, Quito, in person.
Oh, but he's just a kid. How does he get into the council fires of the regular warriors?
Oh, but Miss Jean, Quito is already a warrior.
Oh.
You know, he's already killed a jaguar without assistance. And that is one thing a warrior of his tribe must do before he's accepted in the warriors' council. But wait, that's not all. What is far more important, Quito was literally a warrior the day he was born.
He was? But how come, Mr. Morton?
Quito is the eldest son of a chief. In his tribe, the chieftainship is hereditary, goes from father to son.
Oh, but Quito told us that his father's been lost for about 4 years.
Oh, that's true, he has. And meantime, Quito is chief in his place.
And he rules his tribe now?
Well, no, not yet. The elders and the witch doctors are rulers right now till Quito comes of age.
Say, we got an Indian chief for a pal, huh? Kind of swell at that.
Yes, and whenever you find a campfire, Quito will be there. He'll interpret for you, tell you all the details, and you'll hear about the Crocodile Queen very likely.
The Crocodile Queen?
Yes, a legend somewhere in the hinterland. A tribe ruled by a queen with golden hair. She lives in a temple or a castle on an island in a lake, guarded by crocodiles and all that sort of foolishness.
Gosh, a queen with golden hair, huh?
Yes, and that isn't all. You'll hear all about the headless men.
Hector's pup, the headless men?
Oh, surely. That story has been going the rounds for a long time. Oh, yes, indeed.
You mean there's a tribe of Indians without heads?
The campfire Indians say so.
But gosh, how can they be? If the warriors have no heads, why, how can they see?
According to the story, they have one eye, just one, and it's in the middle of the chest.
Well, I'll be a kippered herring. That is bad magic.
Hector's pup, Jimmy. Wild warriors without heads.
Yeah, and only one eye in the middle of the chest.
He is right. Like Jimmy always says, what kind of a jungle is this anyway? Pygmy tribes, black flames, crocodile queens, bad magic, and witch doctors that do strange things. But just you wait and see. Jimmy and Jean are going to learn the truth about all this, or know the reason why, and they don't intend to waste any time either. So tune in next time. A big surprise is coming up.